Hell yeah, we can challenge for a league title.
What's up, Tifos? Danny Brams here, back with another edition of the Charlotte Soccer Show. Still flying solo for now, but Johnny Hayes will be back soon, we promise. He's at the undisclosed location. I just realized as I was watching that intro that we are going to have to change the intro because it's got the picture of Patrick Ojemong on it, so that's not good, but welcome. It's been a busy week, lots going on. We've been cranking out episodes and videos and things like that. Hopefully everyone's enjoying. You got to see the Decoding the Presser last night that we did on all of Dean Smith's comments. But we are here ahead of another big match. Maybe you finally a chance to get a win here. And we got another special guest from Apple TV MLS Season Pass. Please welcome, making her Charlotte Soccer Show debut, Kendra de St. Aubin. Kendra, welcome to the show. Big fan of your voice, hearing your calls on MLS Season Pass. You've called a lot of Charlotte games recently, so that's why we're especially excited to have you. And I'll let you tell your story, but you've had a great career as a broadcaster all over the country. I grew up in the North Minnesota area, and a friend of the show, Callum Williams, you were partnered with him calling games for the Minnesota Loons before you joined out. But welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think you pretty much nailed it. I've been very blessed and fortunate and lucky to have the career that I have. And before I like really deep dove into soccer, I was doing all sorts of sports as a radio reporter. So I covered everything, baseball, football, hockey, basketball, you name it. NFL in college, and then obviously college basketball and NBA as well. And so, yeah, it's been great. It's been quite the ride. And then I've been lucky that now we have the blessing of all these soccer networks and channels and streaming. And, you know, it started out with college for me with the Big Ten Network and the Pac-12 Network, and just kind of blew up from there in a couple Women's World Cups as a broadcaster for Fox under my belt since 2015. So it's been great. I cannot complain. And, yeah, six awesome years with Cal calling Minnesota United games back here in my home state of Minnesota. I still kind of rep the Minnesota, you know, here and there. So yeah, all good. I cannot complain. And it's a beautiful sunshiny day here, and it's hot. I'll take it over 20 below when it is half a year here in Minnesota.
Yeah, no doubt. And the Women's World Cup, aka the real World Cup, we like to call it here in the United States for sure. And I hearing you talk about how, you know, soccer is like so much more prevalent on networks. I remember when I started my career at ESPN 20 years ago, and I had to fight to get like a minute's worth of Premier League highlights into nightly shows and stuff like that. Now we've got entire league-wide packages for the domestic league. So life is good as a soccer fan, I think, a lot better than it was 20 years ago.
I was just talking with somebody about this, and even just as not even that long ago, you know, where it was like games were on tape delay, the iconic moment of Brandi Chastain, you know, ripping her shirt off and 99 scoring the penalty kick. I mean, that was on tape delay. It wasn't even shown live. And so, I mean, it was like long ago, but not that long ago. So we are very lucky, and all of our kids and these generations don't even know, but they're very blessed to be able to see. And so are we.
Yeah, I always say, you know, despite everything that's going on, I mean, life is certainly not perfect in the world these days, but it's still probably the best time, you know, to be a human in the history of the earth, I happen to think. So what can I say? But we're here to talk about the current. It's not the best time to be a Charlotte FC fan, unfortunately. And the main reason is because the Crown is scoring more but conceding more. And this team that built itself on pragmatism and not conceding goals and, you know, finding ways to score on the counterattack under Dean Smith in year one, you know, he's tried to evolve the club into be a more thorough ability to win with possession and not rely on just counterattacks. But it has led to the sort of the shaking of that foundation, of that defense. What do you see when you watch Charlotte FC this year? I know you've watched a ton of games.
Well, I think when you think of Charlotte and sort of what is it that they want to be, I also think that Dean Smith is a very smart coach in that sometimes depending on the players that are available to you, and the system that you want to play don't always jive, right? You may have an idea as a coach and an idea of how you want to go about things, but sometimes it's about who's available to you and what is working for you in the moment. And as you just stated, right now they're scoring more, but they're conceding more. And also you have a player like Ojemong, who by all accounts is going to be on his way out. So that's another a vacancy or gap or a position that you're going to have to fill. And I know you have other quality players in Toklamati and others that can fill that void, kind of leading the line that nobody's a like for like in that forward position. But this is just the method of the madness of Major League Soccer, is understanding that every game is not the same, but every game is also winnable, and that anybody can beat anybody on any given day. And I know you said it's not a great time to be a Charlotte fan, but at the same time, they're on a really great run of home games here. And I remember talking to Dean Smith before the Chicago game and him just saying, you know, he hasn't like hardly unpacked his suitcase over the last month and a half, 2 months, and was looking forward to being back home in front of your fans. And yes, you had a game the other day where you had a lead and you let it slip away for a draw at home. But if I'm a Charlotte fan, that just gives me more reason to show up and kind of cheer that team on and make sure that we give them the home field advantage. And that's how, if I was a Charlotte fan, I would be taking a look at that and saying, how can we continue to show up for our team? And now that they are, you know, finally at home, and get them over the line so you're not giving up those second half late goals and giving up points at home.
Yeah, it was good to be home. I'll admit, if now is not a great time to be a Charlotte fan, at least it's better than 2 or 3 weeks ago when we were in the middle of, I believe, 42 days between home games. Just absolute joke. No one's happy about the MLS scheduling maestros who came up with that one. I know we had some Club World Cup games here in the Bank of America Stadium. That should not have led to 5-6 weeks in a row with no home games. We hang our hat on home field advantage and protect the fortress is a saying that we say around here, you know, with the whole royal crown theme and whatnot. And yeah, it's they haven't been protecting it lately. The defensive mistakes have been tough. And what do you do as someone who's played the game and watched so much of it? How frustrating is it to see? It's like the horse, right? It's like the back half, front half of the horse, and it's like one is drawn in perfect, excellent detail, and the other one is just scribbled, and we can never get those two halves together. How does a team combine the two halves and build a better identity?
Well, and imagine what that's going to look like when it happens, right? I mean, because I remember talking to Dean Smith a couple times this season, in particular before that Chicago game, is saying, you know, Adilson Milanda is by far one of the best defenders in his mind in this league, not just on your team. And then I saw him just, you know, make an absolute shocker of a play back to the goalkeeper where got picked off for a goal. And then he had
one of the best assists that Hugo Kuypers is going to get all year, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's like, thank you very much. So, everybody has their moments, right? Everybody has their moments. And when you're a center back or you're a defender, you're a goalkeeper, it is highlighted very well for you in a negative way when you make that kind of a pass or that kind of a play. Mm-hmm. That happens in central midfield. Ashley Westwood makes that mistake. It's not clearly as much of an issue as it is when Milanda makes that mistake. So I do think that this is just like a little bit of a blip in the radar for this defense. And again, you're still moving some pieces around him. Bill Tuiloma getting to start the other night. He's not clearly 90 minutes fit. He is still phenomenal, and he's got that veteran quality and that leadership, and you know what you're going to get from him. But he is not your, you know, preferred starting back. Right. And so I also think Tim Ream coming back into the fold from Gold Cup duty. And usually one is always picking up the other. I make the analogy to baseball oftentimes is that, you know, sometimes your pitching is picking up your hitting and vice versa. And so very rarely is, you know, and it's a beauty when everything is on sync at the same time, but this just doesn't always happen. So you've got to go through these little bumps and bruises and these little phases of the season of the schedule when not everybody is on the same page and not everybody's clicking on all cylinders, but watch out when it happens, because it's going to be something to behold with the Charlotte team, regardless of what happened with Olajuwon. You've got Pep Biel that is really starting to, I think, find his form. Hopefully Abada comes back into kind of what he needs to be, especially as a designated player for you. You'll always have Ashley Westwood, which you can count on him, rely on him, not just for minutes, but for quality and leadership. So there's some really good key pieces of this roster, and I think it'll all, you know, continue to be on the up and up. And as Westwood said a couple of weeks ago, if you don't get it figured out pretty quick, this season might be a wash. That might be a little bit harsh, but there's a sense of urgency there from your captain, from your main guy.
Yeah, and that is certainly much needed. This is a Ashley Westwood fan cast on some days. Even though I have recently somewhat questioned if maybe he's lost a step a little bit, please don't tell him, because I like to pretend that we're friends. I've met him a couple times at various team events, and I always love to cheers him up a beer. So I would hate to think that Ashley thinks that I'm like against him, because I'm for him 100%. But everything you're saying there is music to my ears in terms of imagine what it'll look like when it happens. And I think we're definitely imagining that. We're hoping to see that against NYC. And then the other thing, you put me in the mind of when you made that baseball analogy, we have a woman here who covers the team, Carol Walton, who's just like the, she used to cover the Braves and now she's the best reporter here. So I'm sure she will, if she's listening, she's a loyal listener to the show. So hopefully she will be all over that baseball analogy as well. Now, the other thing you mentioned, which we got to talk about, is Patrick Aujamong. I got it as Adios Aujamong. Now it's Toklamani time. You listened to Dean Smith's press conference. I did an episode on Dean Smith's press conference. I do like a reaction to the press conference type thing on our channel from time to time. And we both heard him say over and over again, we think it's a done deal, but it's not a done deal. As of now, he's still our player. He could be involved on Saturday versus New York. But then I read reports online in social media that he's physically in the United Kingdom right now. So I don't know how he's going to get back here in the next 29 hours as we're recording this to start against NYC. But let me just play. Let me ask, what do you think of this move in general? And then I got a soundbite from Dean Smith's press conference that I want to play for you to react to. But what do you think on the surface level of the move?
Well, I kind of personally think that gone are the days of that any move to Europe is the right move to Europe for these young players. And even, you know, as it's always this idea that the next move is the best move and that move is to Europe, regardless of the team or the league. And I just don't think that's the case anymore with how good this league is. This league is too good and there's too many good players to feel. I mean, Miguel Almiron is a perfect example. Huge transfer fee from Atlanta United, goes overseas, and he does well. He does okay there, but he kind of falls off the radar. And now here he is back with Atlanta United. And I'm not saying that's the path that most guys are going to take, but I just don't think that any move is the right move. And I think that's what Dean Smith's message was. I don't think he was being selfish, like, I want to keep Patrick here for our team because he's, you know, we need him. He was more like, I want to make sure that if we're developing a player and he's going overseas, that it's for the right team and the right reasons at the right time because you want them to succeed. It makes you look good as a club. It makes that player look good. And we know he has aspirations to stay with the men's national team heading into 2026. So I just am in the camp that not every move to Europe is the right move to Europe. And I mean, we all hope that it works out for him just because he seems like a fantastic young man with, you know, that's worked really hard coming from D3 and making his way into this position and playing on the Gold Cup roster and starting. But I just think, you know, I hope it works out. But at the same time, not every move is the right move for these players anymore, in my opinion, going to Europe.
Yeah, I certainly tend to agree there. It reminds me yet again, we'll go down memory lane of my own career again for 2 seconds. My first ever job out of school was in Idaho Falls, Idaho. And I was like, I got to get out of here. I was working local news before I moved into the sports networks. And then I moved to Jackson, Mississippi was my next move. And I was like, state capital, bigger place. It's going to be great. You know, a little more money. And it was not. It was any move was not the right move. I was missing Idaho Falls, Idaho, because Jackson, Mississippi was such a horrible place to live. Thankfully, I eventually was able to keep moving and keep growing. But here is it. Here is the what Dean Smith had to say about. He referenced the national team as well. So yeah, this is along the lines of exactly what you're talking about.
I think a team. I think, you know, the championship is not too much different from the other. This is a major league over here. You're going to a second league in the UK. There's not going to be loads of time for development because they play Saturday, Tuesday. There's 46 games a season. For him to remain one of the big players for the US national team as well, you know, probably to stay here would be better.
I mean, is anyone in England going to wake up offended by those comments? What do you think?
Oh, for sure. I mean, is there anything they don't get offended by? I mean, when they hear something like that, I mean, it kind of goes, but it goes back to the point that you and I were saying before we came on air, is that I don't think Dean Smith is by any means slighting the championship, and he's not slighting MLS, or he's not, you know, dragging on. He is just stating facts. He has been a part of both leagues. He understands what this league is, and this league is no slouch. It's not what people used to think it was, or people that have never been in it and been a part of it think it is. The perception sometimes is not reality. And so, again, I think he wants what is best for Patrick. And what he's saying about the schedule and there's no room for development, that's a very real thing. Tuesday, Saturday. And if he is not getting minutes, then what? And how many United States players have we seen Americans and national team players go over to these other teams and these other leagues and not be playing in games? And it does not bode well for these guys. They fall off the radar. They struggle. I mean, Matt Turner is a perfect example as a goalkeeper. And I know sometimes mm-hmm. that position can be slightly different, but nonetheless, it's a reality. When you look at, you know, this is about going over, getting minutes, continuing to hone your craft, yes. you know, develop your skills. There is absolutely a positive in experiencing a different league and a different style of play and a different, you know, quality and dealing with other international players and all the things. Those are life lessons and player lessons that he can gain. But ultimately, if he's focusing on his soccer career, you want to be playing minutes. And I just think Dean Smith nailed it. We'll see what happens. It sounds like it's pretty much a done deal unless something blows up, you know, in his medical. But I think Dean Smith is just being very real and honest.
Yeah, I love that analysis, and I think it's spot on. You've known Dean back in your Minnesota days, Aston Villa. Dean came over here to play against the Loons, right? And you met him then. So you've known Dean for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And if anybody knows Dean, it's Cal Williams. You said you've had Callum on the show before. He was mm-hmm. a huge Villa fan when Dean came over. He was fanboying the whole way at training session that day. But there is something to be said about when you have coaches and players that have been in both leagues, have been overseas and here. And it is they talk a different tune. And I'm sure Ashley Westwood said the same thing. His perception maybe when he came over then, as opposed to what he is in it now, are different things. And so I think Dean is just speaking the truth, and all he can do that is from experience. And he wants the best what's for Patrick, because regardless, this is the sport. This is professional sports. This guys come and go and they move along, you know, transfer windows are unique to soccer, but in general, guys come and go, move along. It just doesn't happen very often in the middle of the season, unless it's the one trade window, you know, that each sport has. So he's not going to be upset if Patrick goes like, oh man, well, he didn't tell us, now we got to fill this hole. They kind of knew it was coming, and you want to be proud that you have a player that's that good, that people want him, but he wants the right fit for him as a player and a person.
Yep. Well, let me ask you this million-dollar question before I do want to get some quick thoughts on the New York matchup that's coming up. That's not the game you're calling, but you've seen both teams. But one last thing on Ajimong before we move on, and that is this, the literal million-dollar question. Should Charlotte have ever considered making Patrick Ajimong a DP and keeping him in-house? We have a DP slot. We have had underperforming DPs our entire time. There's so many people that are just like, they think it is a joke that I would even suggest he should have been our DP. But I'm sticking to my guns. I don't see any reason why we should not have made him a DP. Tell me what you think about that. Tell me why I'm crazy for thinking that, maybe.
Well, that's interesting. I've not been asked that about him specifically yet. And I also think it's a little bit different. I mean, I guess I don't know off the top of my head how many domestic players are designated players in this league. But mm-hmm. I feel like it happens.
It's not many. It's not many. Players. Yeah, it's a very small number.
And so
it's like an anti. It's like an anti-American bias in the DP ranks. Like, oh, you have to go get a European star to fill your DP spots, or South American, or else.
Right, and here we are trying to get all the international guys to get green cards, so we don't have to count them as an international slot anymore. But back to that point of the roster mechanisms and the way these rosters are built, I just don't see it happen very often, especially when you have a young player like that or a homegrown player where you are fortunate and lucky to have them on certain roster salary rules mm-hmm. and regulations that allow you to a little bit more flexibility in your roster. I was trying to think. I think Jesus Ferreira might be one of the first that was a American player that chose to stay, and then he was signed, and he was a homegrown for Dallas at the time. And he signed mm-hmm. a designated player deal. And now he's obviously with Seattle. But I just don't think it happens very often.
I think Jordan Morris,
yeah. And then not that Patrick Ajimong doesn't have necessarily the quality eventually. But for me, he hasn't done enough yet. Okay. I mean, I don't want to anoint him as you talk about your crown over there. I don't want to anoint him the king when he's had really one-ish good seasons. Mm-hmm. On the first team. So when I think he gets more minutes or he finds more consistency, or if your whole team was sort of, somewhat revolving around him and relying on him, I think there's certain attributes that we just sort of tag on a designated player And also the designated player role, to be honest, it's a little bit, and I don't, this isn't a slight on Major League Soccer because I like my job, but like it's a minute. This is a safe space. Yeah. Safe space on the podcast. Nobody's going to see it. But it's a North American Major League Soccer thing. So mm-hmm. when these international guys come in and everybody's asking them, oh, you're a DP. Do you feel pressure, DP, lots of money. Then it's like, they're like, wait, what? You know, like, so we have obviously manufactured that, and the league has four reasons of the roster build and trying to make it more fair and equitable. So you didn't have the multi billionaires, you know, just spending all the money.
Right.
And so that's how we create this parity in this league, right? That's how we create competition to a certain extent. So I don't get too hung up on the designated player tag. And now we have these young DPs and we have these U22 initiatives. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need a DP tag to be a quality player. And I'm not sure, just, you know, like if somebody doesn't get picked to be an all-star, doesn't mean they're not good, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, I just think that I think Patrick has plenty of quality and he's got his head on his shoulders. And in my opinion, he had a tag. And if the team doesn't have to use that spot on him, it's probably a benefit to them so they can use it elsewhere with the roster mechanisms.
Make sure you repeat that point about just because you're not an all-star doesn't mean you're not a good player for the Nashville fans that might be listening, because they have not stopped crying about Sam Surge since the rosters were announced at all. But I am so grateful for your time, Kendra. It's great to meet you online, and I'm loving all your commentary. Again, and I like listening to you on the games themselves. Just any thoughts on what Charlotte can expect here at home against New York City? I know you're not calling this game, but you know you're familiar with all the teams, and New York City just bringing in a brand new DP themselves from South America, right, who's playing in the Spanish second division, for Nico Fernandez, I think is his name. I don't know if he's going to be ready, yeah. But will Charlotte FC be ready for New York is the question.
Well, I think, too, when you look at a lot of these guys, which we are also blessed in this league to have guys that went and played in the Gold Cup and they're good enough to go and play for their national teams, it's, for me, it's more about how they come back. And Martinez is one of those for me, Alonso Martinez. I thought he had a really good Gold Cup with Costa Rica, and he needed some sort of confidence boost. And it's amazing what going away and playing for your national team can kind of help you find, whether that's regardless of what role that's in, but especially when you're a forward. And I think that when they brought Martinez in, they had a certain expectation of what he could be and how he could contribute to this New York City team. They've had a coaching change as well, obviously, heading into this year. And I think he's kind of finding his scoring boots. He's finding his confidence. He's finding his groove. The way they use some of their wide spaces, I think, is going to really help him and find his space up higher in the middle of the pitch. So for me, I'm going to keep an eye on him against this back line for Charlotte. And I don't know, is Tim Ream available? I'm not even sure for you guys.
He is available. Yeah, Tim Ream is back.
He should be.
Tim Ream is back. Andrew Griffith's back from a hip flexor injury. So, yeah, yes. Left back Suleiman Dubia is not available, but other than that, we're full strength. Yeah.
So that'll be helpful for you guys, because I do think there's a number of pieces on this.
We might see Ream at left back. We might see Tuiloma stay and Ream at left back. There's a few different ways they could put the puzzle together on the back line, but it's gotta be put together. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and to be honest, the first time I saw Ream as like an outside back, I was like, holy smokes, we're asking a lot of this guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
that's at the end of last year, Dean had to do it because Privet was such a good partnership with Milanda. And that when he broke that up, we went into a losing streak. And then he's like, well, I want Ream on the field. So he had to put Ream at left back and restored Privet to the 11. And then and Ream sort of shifts. We go to sort of three at the back out of possession and two fullbacks in possession moving forward. Very hybrid, and it's worked, but has not been working as much lately. So hopefully Saturday we see better things.
Well, there is something to be said, right? For you got to find a way to get your best 11 on the field. And when I say best 11, I don't mean it in that like the best 11 players. It's the best 11 that work together. Correct. In a cohesive way. And that is the tricky part and the key piece and component for soccer more than any other sport, is that everybody has to work together. And that's like national teams. You can't just take the best 11 guys in the country and throw them out there. They have to be a cohesive unit in how they work together and complement each other. So I'm sure Dean Smith is, you know, kind of spinning his wheels and making sure he's got the right groove. And he knows he's got to get it right at home. He knows he does, because this fan base is, your fan base is too smart. They're not going to put up and, you know, understand, you know, giving up late goals, giving up leads. You want to take advantage. He's been preaching about being back at home finally. So, you know, he knows he's got to find a way to get it right, and they want to put on a good show for your fan base.
Very nice of you to compliment the fan base's intelligence. Not 100% sure I agree, but we'll leave that for another episode. I really appreciate it, Kindred, that you are able to join us. And it's funny, you're in the car as you're recording this. That gives you something in common with your boy Cal Williams, who also did his episode while riding in a car on his way to the airport to fly to Montreal. So thank you so much for your time. Can't wait to till the next time you call a Charlotte game. Going to be great. And thank you so much. I hope you have a great day and a great weekend.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Aprita. Sorry, I'm cutting out here all of a sudden. I'm getting like
my text messages are
blowing up at the same time. It's not working great.
Tell them you're on the Charlotte Soccer
Show. All right, thank you.
Send us out with our catchphrase, Charlotte FC, it's for the crown, baby.
All right, sounds good. Thank you. Have a great day.